do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got.
This comes to us from Jordan Maywood.
Next up, we have Jordan. He's going to tell a joke.
Got an answer for Jordan Maywood. Yes, Wood May.
Hello, this is Penn Jillette. The possibility exists that if I were to actually listen to the Liberal Cube podcast featuring host Jordan Maywood, I could potentially enjoy it. A ringing endorsement, I guess. Potentially enjoy this episode, which will start after the other half of my magical comedy duo Teller gives us a countdown. Take it away, Teller.
Hello, welcome to the Liberal Cube. My name is Jordan Maywood, and I am the lackadaisical Liberal Cube. Oh boy. Not a promising start. A professional would restart, but stretch a little bit. I am not. So I will not. I refuse. Flat out. The show is a journey into all the media I have consumed in the last little bit. I pour it forth into the internet, into your very ears. Assuming you're not listening to this, assuming you are, rather, listening to this, and not reading the transcript that does not exist? You may not have consumed some of this media yourself, so I warn of that potential possibility, that PP, if you prefer, and I hope you do. I think because I'm going to try to stick to the timer, because I'm on a bit of a time crunch here, kind of, sort of, I'm going to push the button right now that will start it like this. Oh, fuck.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Like this.
Let's get ready to
review some things.
Today's movie monologue sponsor is, it looks like a proctologist office called Twist Endings. Thank you for that sponsorship. Okay, I'm going to have a lot of movies this episode, just so you are forewarned and therefore forearmed. First and foremost is, maybe not, but first, certainly, Glass from 2019, which is this year. Security guard David Dunn used his supernatural abilities to track Kevin Wendell Crum, a disturbed man who has 24 personalities. Was it only 24? I thought it was like a really high amount, but maybe we only saw the sort of tip of the iceberg, kind of. Okay, so if you're... that's cool. I'm in the IMDb for this movie, and James McAvoy, who played the man with all those personalities, he has each of the personalities listed in what he played, so that's kind of cool. I've never seen anything like that before. So stars Bruce Willis as the guy, the security guard, David Dunn, and then I guess the titular Glass, Samuel Jackson reprising his role. If you've never seen Unbreakable or whatever the one that James McAvoy did, they're fine movies. These are M. Night Shyamalan joints, of course. Rating-wise, just to get it out of the way, I think I'd go like a solid 3+, close to a 4. Maybe it hits 4 some moments. I like this kind of movie, people with powers. It's one of the reasons I like X-Men. This doesn't sort of hit that benchmark of superpoweriness, if that is a word, and I've just made it a word. I always sort of like that thing where it's like people, and they each have their each sort of unique powers, and how those powers interact with one another. There's so much potential for just that simple scenario, and I think they do it well here. It's kind of just strong dudes for the most part fighting in the form of Bruce Willis, and when the strong personality comes out of James McAvoy's character, you know, that sort of thing. And then just the smart guy, Samuel Jackson, a.k.a. Glass. So, you know, it wasn't bad. Go in expecting not too much of it, and I think you'll enjoy it. Yes? Probably not. Moving on to, also from 2019, I see Captive State. Set in a Chicago neighborhood nearly a decade after an occupation by an extraterrestrial force, Captive State explores the lives on both sides of the conflict. Aliens come to Earth and they basically take over. But, and you know what? One thing I sort of didn't like of this right off the bat is, do we ever, and I'm pretty sure if I do recall, we never find out why. Like, coming to Earth and sort of taking all our resources, that's sort of a classic alien invasion one. Coming to Earth because they're just evil and want to kill everything, yeah, okay, I'll even take that. But coming to Earth and then sort of living alongside us, not alongside, that's not right, subjugating us, like, for what purpose? Seemingly, they just sort of let us go about our daily lives, with the exception of, having aliens sort of tell us what to do for them. It just didn't, like, I didn't really see the logic of it. The aliens were cool to look at. They could sort of, they looked like a ferrous fluid. If you ever look at that stuff, they kind of look like that, where they could sort of meld and, like, get spiky or ooze a little bit. Cool to look at. And then a lot of this movie is from the point of view of people who are fighting against these aliens and trying to, in a sort of resistance cell style, get rid of them. So, you know, pretty good. I didn't mind it. Rating wise, I think I'll go 3-ish. It had John Goodman in it, who I don't think there's such thing as a bad John Goodman movie, basically. So, you know, that's nice. Okay, moving on to Killing Gunther from 2017. So this is a group. This is a comedy action movie. Yeah, I think firmly entrenched in that genre. And I like a comedy action movie. Basically, a group of hitmen are trying to team up and kill sort of the world's greatest hitman in the form of Gunther. Gunther, who's not really in the movie so much, he's more in it at the end, where things are sort of wrapping up a bit, is played by Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, he's sort of like, if you ever see the cover of this, he's like big on the cover, and I bet you in trailers he shows up a lot, but in terms of him being in the actual movie, not so much. A lot of funny people in this, though. Bobby Moynihan, yeah, he's funny. Little Forville, or Fiveville. Yeah, Forville. Rating-wise, I do enjoy, I will say, an action comedy, so that will skew my rating slightly. If you don't like an action comedy, I don't know why this one would change your mind necessarily, but I'd go a solid 3 to 4 out of 5, with some dumb, fun, action-y comedy. Yes. Today's Television Talk sponsor is rather a double movie monologue sponsor. As I've warned you, there will be a lot of movies this episode. And the sponsor is Kong Brand Bananas, BANANANANANANANANAS. Thank you for that sponsorship. Movie the first, Top Knot Detective. I actually went into this thinking it would be a movie about this sort of samurai detective thing, like a cheesy Japanese action-y sort of bloody movie, maybe something like that. But what it actually is a documentary about a cult classic called Top Knot Detective, which I gotta say is something I really want to check out. I wonder if there's a dubbed or a subbed version that I could get my hands on. In fact, mental note to myself to do so, because it looked insane. Basically, it existed, and for some reason it was incredibly popular in Australia, seemingly. A lot of the people interviewed were Australian, maybe in the sort of Oceania area. That's where it flourished and has become a cult classic. documentary done very, very well. There was some things that you sort of don't expect in this, in that quite often you pick picture Japanese people sort of very reserved and business-like in their acumen. However, the guy who created and starred in this thing seemed to be a little bit insane, which I enjoy, and that insanity certainly trickled into the television show. You just Google Top Knot Detective. I bet you on YouTube there's clips of the show at the very least, and you'll see some of the just crazy stuff that happened in it. So rating wise, I go like a solid 4 to 5 out of 5. Yeah. The fact that I went in not expecting a documentary and then ended up enjoying it so much, I think speaks well of it just because I'm an idiot and wasn't expecting it. Okay. So moving on to movie, the second, The Long Dumb Road, starring Mr. Jason Mantzoukas, co-starring Tony Revolorio. Revolori. Yeah, he was good. I don't think I'd ever seen him in anything, although he did look a little familiar now that I think about it. And then, of course, Jason Mantzoukas, who I have a great affection for, as he is a podcast mainstay. And you'll hear him on among his own, like How Did This Get Made, which I was actually right before I started recording this. I was about to the next podcast. Like, I always have a podcast on the go where I listen to it in those sort of slow moments of the day or at work or driving or just anything to fill up the void of silence. The next one I was going to listen to was How Did This Get Made? And he is one of the co-hosts of said podcast. So he periodically on his podcast and other ones would mention this movie, so I sought it out, and I gotta say, I loved it. It should really come in as no surprise, because if you've listened to even a handful of episodes, especially ones where I talk of dark comedies, that is my favorite genre. Definitely dark comedies, somehow, some way. You know what it is? And this is something I think I've said before, that the combination of the two makes it feel more realistic. Like, if a movie is 100% funny 100% of the time, that's it could be fun, it could be dumb, it could be dumb fun, but not very realistic. And if it's 100% depressing 100% of the time, well, that's certainly not fun, and also I don't think realistic. So the combination of the two is more what actual factual life is, I do believe, so maybe that's why I like them. Like this one. So basically it's a sort of a road trip movie, I guess you would say, as the title indicates. Jason Mantzoukas, he's playing, I wonder if he cares that he's often sort of cast in very similar roles. This one is different to some degree. Like, it's not quite as cartoonily crazy as some, although he is pretty crazy in this movie, but to a funny and not unbelievable degree for the most part. Rating wise, can I give it a 5 out of 5? I want to give it a 5 out of 5, and I almost will, but not quite. Aha! How about that for a convoluted rating? Last but not least, you heard the timer go off, so I'll just dip my toe into Kong Skull Island a little bit. I did enjoy it. Samuel L. Jackson, yeah, which I didn't mean to do. Sometimes I have those weird occurrences where I watch a handful of movies, and a lot of the actors in the movies will be the same. And then I'll bring them back here to talk about them and then realize the fact that I have a bunch of movies with the same actor without planning it. And this falls into that category, as you got Mr. Sam Jackson in there. Brie Larson, John C. Reilly was really good. John Goodman also. Getting a lot of connections here. Some pretty brutal deaths from Kong and other things on Skull Island, which I will say, it's not just Kong on this island that's going to kill you. In fact, without giving too much away, he's kind of nice at some points of this movie. Yeah, you want Kong on your side, basically, is what I'm saying. And sometimes he will be on your side. Rating-wise, yeah, I'll go 3 to 4. Some definite cool 4 moments, some action set pieces, as they were, that I enjoyed. But overall, it's just sort of a, interesting action movie.
Holy decimal system.
Book banter.
Today's book banter is rather a not unheard of, but very rare, triple movie monologue. Yes, lots of movies I mentioned. The segment sponsored by the Underground Rabbit Bar and Grill. Thank you for that sponsorship. Okay, first and foremost, in this case, I do believe foremost, Us. Yes, from 2019. Finally got my hands on it. The missus and I, this is a movie we've both been dying to see for a long time, and we did, we just celebrated our anniversary, actually, our wedding anniversary, so sort of part of that day and night of celebration was finally watching this movie, and I gotta say, it was pretty goddamn creepy. Started out creepier than it ended. Eventually, it did something that sometimes horror movies do, where it turns from horror to more action-y, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, there's definitely moments at the beginning where you have no idea what's going on, and you're sort of thinking supernatural things. But that's, I guess, not what's happening. It's almost like sci-fi what's happening. It's very, very strange, and I almost feel like I don't exactly know. Basically, this is what it is. So, people, for some reason, for reasons, and this is the part that I don't really get, the reasons, create a clone slash doppelganger slash changeling versions of people that look exactly the same, share some sort of tenuous connection, and that's the other thing I never really get. You may see in, if you haven't seen this, well, I'm spoiling it, so you shouldn't be listening to this, but the sort of imagery of these people with their scissors, a lot of the clones, I'll just call them, have scissors, and that's, I guess, to signify the severing of the connection between the would you say the fake version? Yeah, I kind of feel like you would. The fake version, the evil version, for some reason, they're born without, or they're born created. And that's the other thing we never sort of delve into. How are they made? How are they created? How and for what purpose are they created? And that is never really delved into, that I could figure out anyways. But I am a dummy, so maybe it is in there somewhere, and I just sort of didn't catch it. I was very, very tired when I watched this movie. On that note of this movie, let me go ahead and give a rating of 4 out of 5. The only reason I'm not giving it a 5 out of 5 is because of that, so many questions I had that seemingly are left unanswered. The whys and hows of why people can have quote unquote evil versions of themselves in a sort of apocalyptic, they all rise from underneath and start killing us all, which is a cool idea. One thing I said for sure is when I go to Fan Expo this year, I can almost guarantee, like this movie's popularity and the fact that all the quote-unquote evil cloney people dressed in a similar uniform, I feel like we're going to see a lot of people dressed like that, doing cosplay like that, because it's also somewhat simple cosplay. It's just like a red jumper with a pair of scissors. You'll have to bring in some, I don't think they'll let people come in with giant scissors. Anyways, that is Us. Next, moving on to from 1983, Fire and Ice. This is a animated film. It's something. It's got some D&D type fantasy elements, I suppose you would say. At the end of the Ice Age, an evil queen and her sons set on conquering the world using magic and warriors. The lone survivor of a crushed village fights back, as does the king of Fire Keep. This very similar in feel to Heavy Metal, the first one more than the second one. And I think maybe those types of movies were popular in the early 80s. I liked it. It's definitely interesting, and there's some sort of cringy things maybe, and some poor animation, let's say. Some beautiful scenes and some really ugly scenes. Rating wise, I go like a solid 3+, you know. Okay, moving on. The timer went off and I said I was sticking to it. Obviously I'm a liar. The Heartbreak Kid from 1972, which I do believe there's a newer version from 2000 something. The stars Charles Grodin, who I feel like, especially maybe to people my age, so I'm like 30, Charles Grodin maybe doesn't get the respect he deserves in terms of movies he has done. I think when he did the, what's the one with the St. Bernard, Beethoven? Mozart? I think it's Beethoven, yeah. Anyway, I feel like he did that and then sort of got lumped into he does cheesy movie things, but he's actually a very good actor, and whenever he's in a comedy, he plays a great straight man, or that sort of character where they start out straight, just sort of a boring person, sort of tightly wound person, and then over the course of the movie things happen where they sort of slowly and then eventually explosively lose their shit. He's very good at that, I believe. So don't sleep on Charles Grodin movies from the past, like this one, which I will give, I'll go a solid 4 out of 5. We've got a very young Sybil Shepherd on this as well. Jesus Christ, she was quite the looker back in the day. Yeah, so that's The Heartbreak Kid from 1972. Today's game, Gavin, sponsor is Necro Wafers. Thank you for that sponsorship. Okay, got two games for you today. Both in a similar vein of a game that is ones I played in the past and occasionally will dust off. Sometimes, and I don't know what triggers it or really why it happens, but every once in a while I'll sort of think of a game that I played in the past and like, oh yeah, I really did like that, and I'll dust it off. And I don't do it for all games. And you know what? I bet you there's games that I really enjoyed in the past that just sort of never fall into this category, but these two definitely do. Specifically Terraria. There's something about this game. I bet you of games that fit in this sort of category I've created, Terraria is maybe number one. It's just like every once in a while, I just have to dust it off and play it and create a little. If you're unfamiliar, it's like 2D Minecraft is a sort of a simplified way to say it, but it's much more deep in terms of gameplay, I would say, than Minecraft. Although with Minecraft, I think once you get once you get like mods involved, you can get it really deep and sort of complicated. But I've never sort of delved into the mods of Minecraft, which is a shame. Maybe I'll look into that. But with Terraria, it's so much deeper that you don't even need mods if they do exist. So basically, you're digging down into the ground. Or running along the surface and getting wood, although there can be wood underground as well, and you're sort of bringing those resources back and building a base, crafting things to wear that'll make you stronger, that'll allow you to fight better, which will allow you to go deeper, and it's that sort of cycle of becoming more powerful, which allows you to venture further underground, which allows you to bring back stronger resources or more rare resources that allow you to create stronger equipment, and then it's sort of that cycle of that, which describing it that way as I just did made it sound boring potentially, but it's not. It's very, very fun. And one thing I like to do is try to create underground eventually you'll reach where you can create a minecart. So if you dig from one side of the screen to the other and sort of create a mine cart ride from point A to point B. That's a pretty fun thing to do, just for shits and giggles, if you will. And also it allows you to travel this massive world quickly if you do it that way. Because these worlds, I usually just do a small one. Although, I think the first time I played, I did a large one. You have the choice between large, medium, and small. And even the small one, like if you were to run across the surface from one side to the other of the map, it would take you, you know, a couple of minutes. So these are not small. And when you're underground, it takes you even longer because you have to dig. And your digging speed is determined by the strength of your pickaxe. So that's the other reason you want to go deeper and deeper, is creating stronger pickaxes, which allow you to, because some things you just can't even penetrate with your sort of starting pickaxe, that sort of thing. Anyways, love Terraria. Easy 5 to 6 out of 5, this game. Diablo 3. Okay, so that's one I haven't played in quite a while. But a while back, they came out with the Necromancer, which in Diablo 2, I used to always love playing the Necromancer. That was one of my favorite. So I've been playing Diablo 3 with the Necromancer. And I've got to say, man, she is very, very powerful. Like, I'll have a bunch of skeletons that are sort of fighting at my side. So they'll take the front lines while I sort of sit back and sort of pepper the bad guys with whatever various magical things I can do. What I have found is so good with this Necromancer. One sort of spell that it's like a chain reaction where... oh, shit.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
As you just heard, I really fucked up the timer there. Okay. Gonna be a second before it gets back to where it is. You know what? I should make a note of where each of the... that doesn't matter. Anyways, Necromancer. So there's this one spell where, say you kill anything, one of the bad guys, and if you've ever played Diablo, the bad guys are innumerable in size, shape, difficulty, whatever. When you kill one, it'll leave a dead body behind, and then I can set one of my necromantic abilities is to have that body explode. So then it does a sort of chain reaction, because that causes a lot of damage. Then one thing about Diablo is there's sometimes a shit ton of bad guys on the screen. So I kill one and then cause that body to explode, and then maybe that causes two more to form, and then I'll explode those two, and then those two will explode, and it's sort of exponentially these explosions to the point where the whole screen is just filled with dead bodies and explosions, and I'm plowing through somewhat tough, like I'm playing on harder, not something I ever do. I'm playing on like the hardest difficulty most of the time, which is rare for me. I don't normally do that, but the fact that this sort of combination of skeletons and exploding bodies seemingly is so strong has made it fun to feel this powerful. I just am awash in a wake of exploding corpses. Oh my. Diablo 3 and Terraria, 5 out of 5. Love these games. Play them every once in a while. Good stuff. Today's Internet Intercourse sponsor is the Devil's Lettuce. Thank you for that sponsorship. Okay, first we have Joey Diaz and Tommy Chong sitting together. Yes, on the podcast, The Church of What's Happening Now, of course, with host Joey Coco Diaz and was Lee there? I don't know if his sidekick. Sure, let's just say sidekick, with not a negative connotation to sidekick. I don't know if he was there for this. If he was here for this episode, he was quiet. Lisa, yeah, that is. Yeah, this one I liked because Joey clearly sort of... Tommy Chong was one of his idols back in the day. One of the reason he does what he does, he said, is because of two albums. One was Richard Pryor, which... He's always spoken very highly of Richard Pryor on the show, which is not unusual for a stand-up to speak highly of Richard Pryor for the reason that they get into comedy because of listening to his albums. So him and Tommy Chong. So you could tell sort of under everything he was saying, he was... And if you know Joey Diaz and can picture him, he was fanboying out a little bit, which was just a delight to hear. You know, a 50-something tough dude who's been through the shit get really excited to talk to someone who he really admires and looks up to the point where you almost feel like he's getting a little choked up just being in this situation, which it's a delight. It's just a delightful thing to hear someone have an experience like this. So I recommend you go listen to that. And plus, you know, just an interesting talk is gonna happen on a podcast. So, you know, there you go. Okay, so the next is Strictly Dumpling. Oh, yeah. So I just added this to my podcast subscription listening repertoire. You can listen to my talk of losing my YouTube channel, which also meant losing all of, I think that was last episode maybe, which also meant losing all of my subscriptions. Yes, every channel I was subscribed to, gone, and no list of them anywhere, which I have remedied now. So I sort of had to go from memory. You know what I did, actually? This is kind of funny. Because of this podcast, I went back and looked at previous internet intercourse segments where I would talk of things from YouTube channels and then see that and then resubscribe on a new... Because I had to create a whole goddamn new YouTube... not channel, I guess. YouTube... You know, I guess it is technically a channel, in order to resubscribe to all the channels I was subscribed to. And I'm sure I probably missed a few, but I've also added a few, like the Strictly Dumpling. So this guy will go around testing foods in various places. And what I like about it is he'll go deep into things that I've never experienced before. And I'm a big supporter of trying new things. And since I'm not, you know, in China, able to try the crazy menu on some sort of Asian KFC or an underground faux place that he's heard of, you know, stuff like that. He really delves deep into things that I probably won't get to experience, but vicariously through him I have been able to. So I very much like Strictly Dumpling. Moving on to Ben Yahtzee Croshot E3. Yeah, this was good. So I've spoken of, since the very start of this podcast, from The Escapist, Zero Punctuation is the excuse me, web series, I guess you would call it, who Ben Yahtzee Croshot has been hosting since way back in the day. I guess they decided to send him to E3 this year, which is, and I say for some reason, because if you've ever sort of heard him talk, both on Zero Punctuation and IRL, which he did on a podcast not too long ago, and I spoke of it here, on the Comedian's Comedian podcast, recommend that episode, he's not the happiest of campers. And these episodes, I think there was quite a few, because he did like day one, day two, day three, day four, and then a bunch of interviews with people. Him being a little on the grumpy side, let's say, was delightful to see. I don't know how much of it is an act. I almost feel like not much. So it was fun to see someone who's not really having the best time being in this experience, being in that experience that, you know, you would think would be fun. You know, to go to E3 and to experience that. But there's also the sort of, like when I go to a fan expo, it is fun, but then there is the sort of tiredness and the getting back to your hotel and just wanting to lie down and stuff like that, which he exemplifies very, very well. Okay, ran out of time, but I still got more here, so we'll do the rest quick. There was a TED Talk title on sloths. Recommend that very highly. Sloths, more fascinating than you think. Aubrey Plaza on Hot Ones. That was friggin' awesome. I love that show. It is not necessarily guest dependent, but there's ones I haven't watched because of the guest didn't... Like, I feel They'll have guests on that I'll have no idea who they are. And I might not watch it. I might not. But I might, and I bet you it would be interesting to figure out, you know, delve into these people's lives. Like Kevin Pollak's chat show, like when I first started watching that, maybe a guest would be on and I wouldn't know who it was. Elon Musk, for example. This was way back in the day when nobody really knew who Elon Musk was yet. When he was on it, I remember watching that and sort of delving deep into him and being, oh, that's sort of an interesting dude. And like Kevin Pollak, Sean Evans can really pull interesting information out of anyone. So you know what? I'm sort of talked myself into right here, right now, watching ones where the guest, I don't really know who it is. But I did, in this case, Aubrey Plaza, who I'm a huge fan of. I've never seen her in anything. I've thoroughly enjoyed her, including this. At one point, she put milk up her nose, period, full stop. Lastly, Cooking with Jeff, specifically Jeff Goldblum. Oh, baby. I did an episode or spoke of him on a previous internet intercourse where I went down a Jeff Goldblum rabbit hole, which is so, so very easy to do. Similar to Aubrey Plaza, actually. I have never seen him in anything, be it an interview, a movie, a TV show, anything, and not thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just a delight. I forget how this came up, but the missus and I were talking, maybe I heard it on a podcast, that idea of if you could invite three people out to a meal with you, living or dead, anyone ever, who would it be? Now, I had two right off the bat without hesitation were Bill Murray and Jeff Goldblum. The third, I don't know, actually. I had trouble sort of thinking who that would be. You know what? For audience participation at the end of this show, send me your list. Three people, living, dead, anyone. You could pick fictional. Yeah, well, no, I won't throw in fictional. No, scratch that out. Okay, one can be fictional. maybe Terry Pratchett. Yeah, that's not a fictional person. Anyways, Batman. Yeah, get Batman in there. Me, Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, Batman. Sitting down at, what was that sponsor? The Underground Rabbit Bar and Grill. Delightful. Delectable. D's nuts. Folks, we did it. Made it to the end. Which leaves one final thing to say. Oh my god, did I? No, I didn't. Which is, of course, it's nice to be nice to the nice.
Done and done. And I mean done.
Done and done. I like Ron.
This is the end of the show. A sincere thank you for listening. Time to plug some things, and I do not mean butts. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow Jordan_Maywood on Twitter. You can subscribe and comment on iTunes. Lastly, if you would like to contact the podcast, you can email jordan.maywood@gmail.com. I would like to conclude that I am not a robot and that I have a theory.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine.
Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met.
Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
The best is yet to come.
Live long and prosper.
Okay, I literally forgot that I had a conversation cleanup today. Yes. Oh man, like I turned, I moved my mic, I turned the fan on. I was like ready to get editing, such as it is, of the podcast, which is really not much. And I was like, everything was off and ready to go. But I have a cleanup conversation, which is sponsored by Mummy. Why did I say that like that? Mummy Wraps with Dino Fries. Thank you for that sponsorship. Okay, just a quick one, and you know what, I sort of mentioned previously that the Mrs. and I just celebrated our anniversary, or anniversaire, if you prefer, the French, which I don't. So what we did was cross off, I assume this is not just us, I assume this is a thing that other couples have, which is a list of things they say they're going to do and never do. So what was one that we crossed off last year? Yeah, we always say we're going to go to Red Lobster, but we never did. Like, after probably a decade of being together, it's not like a difficult thing. Like, we could just go to one. But we never did for some reason. And we have several things like this. But the one we just crossed off was we went to the ROM, which that's what people just call it, the ROM. But it stands for the Royal Ontario Museum, which is, you guessed it, a museum. So that was a fun little day trip. Went early in the morning, which turned out to be smart. I mean, we would have done it anyways because I like to get out and back. Whenever I do anything, you know, there's always that pull to get home and relax, because being out of home is not relaxing. But it turned out well, because it was a Pride parade day. And if you've ever, I do remember once, was in the city during Pride, and when you have to get from the city to anywhere out of the city during those days, it's like impossible. Traffic is just insane. So we like just missed it practically, and you could see on our way home, because we live half hour north of Toronto, on our way home the sheer amount of cars driving into the city was just insane. So we sort of got in and got out, and it worked out really well. And the museum itself, man, a lot of memories. When I was a kid, my grandfather had a pass to the ROM, so we would go a lot. Like, I probably as a kid went over a dozen times. So one thing that was fascinating was seeing things at this museum that I remember seeing as a kid, because it's been, I don't know how many years, but a lot of years since I had been. One thing in particular, there's like, as you're walking up the stairs, they had in jars some small animals, like circulatory system is what it looked like inside jars. And there's one of a bird that, as soon as I saw it, it like hit me like a friggin' lightning bolt. Remember seeing this thing every time I went there. It was just crazy, the amount of memories that just flooded in. We had a lot of fun. One thing I sort of commented on that was interesting is, like, you're in this giant city, Toronto. You're in this giant building, and there's parts in there where it was just so quiet, and nobody was around. It was a sort of a strange feeling, and a little sad feeling, because I guess a nice, bright, sunny day, Pride Parade, all sorts of cool things going on outside. So maybe it's not too surprising that it was really dead, for lack of a better word, in the museum. But it is kind of sad that this thing here, this archive of knowledge and history, and nobody's in there. So that was a little sad, but also interesting to sort of be in there and just soak up that quiet, that solitude. Was cool. We had fun. I invented a game, as I am wont to do, where we would look in a display case. And this is a good museum game for any of you. So you look in a display case, and each of you pick one thing from it that you would want to take home. And then you sort of don't tell the other person right away. But then once you both have your things, decide, let the other ones know. And if you both pick the same one, then you win. Huh? How about that for a dumb game at a museum? So made it a little fun. Then on our way back from that, we went for a late lunch at the Pickle Barrel, which I had never been to. Is the name of a restaurant I've always thoroughly enjoyed, the Pickle Barrel. It's fun to say. And it was good. I had a cheeseburg, which was a cheeseburger that the bun was like a grilled cheese. That is insane. That's insane. Very unhealthy. And I felt a little, not sick after, but very full, let's say. And then I got onion rings as well. The missus got a Cobb salad and some calamari. And it was fun. It was good. Rating of the Pickle Barrel, because I did do a restaurant review in a previous episode. So just to keep things consistent, I go a solid 4. Prices was reasonable. Wait was not long. We went at a sort of a weird time. We went, if you're interested in the location, the one in Sherway Mall? Bramley City Center. Yeah, never mind. Bramley, I don't know the names of malls. I hate malls. But it was the one inside the mall. There was a Forever 21 I could see from where we were sitting, and I've never seen one of them before. So, you know, that's something. Okay, I guess that is the cleanup of the conversation. Oh, a review of the ROM. Wow. Well, I go like a 4, but on a nostalgia scale, I'd go like a 6. Like, it was crazy what was hitting me, some of the things. 6 or a goddamn 7. I don't think I've ever given anything a 7, but the nostalgia factor of the ROM is high. Bye!